we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the go, you know the thing.
Hello, and welcome in to this Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. It's the morning after edition, the morning after the second and final presidential debate, which occurred last night. And if you were one that up and watched it, bless your heart. You're a real trooper. You're a real American. And odds are, if you're listening to me, your opinion did not change at all last night. Well, it might have changed a bit, because if anything, Joe Biden demonstrated his ineptitude to an even more intense degree last night. And that was very interesting. We'll be talking, you know, we're going to talk about this today. That's going to be the thing today. We're just going to be talking about the debate for the most part. But I do have something that I want to share with you before we wrap things up. And I'm looking at time-wise. I think I can do it. And I want to do it because it's important. And when you hear it to begin with, you may be wondering, well, what does this have to do with anything going on now? It has everything to do with what's going on now and what could be happening for the next 4 years. So we'll dig into that here in just a little while. Hi there. It's the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton sitting here at the mic, your sometimes humble host for what is usually an hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. The podcast version, a bit shorter because the breaks are trimmed out. And some days when life is bizarre and I don't have time to do a full podcast, I will drop in with something shorter. But I didn't for the past couple of days because, everything is weird the past couple of days. I had an annual physical Wednesday, which was scheduled early enough in the morning that it threw my schedule off here, so I couldn't do this here. And then afterwards, once you're out, you're out. You know, that's kind of how it was for me then. And then yesterday I had an 8 a.m. Outside session, which, by the way, I want to encourage you to find. It's a podcast. I want you to find it and listen to it. Now, I want you to, whether you do or not, that's your decision, but I really want you to. It's the Dawson Now podcast, which will release next Tuesday evening at 7 Central and be available after that. Scott Dawson usually starts promoting it the following morning early on his social media, but it's available the evening before, 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. Central Time, next Tuesday. It is a really great interview with Mike Huckabee. And I had the privilege of engineering and going along for the ride. It was a great interview. He is an interesting man. He has an interesting story, and he has a new book out, and that's what the podcast is about. Primarily, it's about the book, but it also reveals a lot about the man himself, and the conversation is very interesting, and I think it's informative. You should be listening to it. So check that out, okay? That's coming out. Just look for Dawson Now. Next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock is when it drops, and it's a good one. I'm just going to say that. It's a good one. And if I could, I might see if I can get some permission to use some audio from it here once it releases next week. We'll see. What else? That was yesterday. And once that was done, I was back home and I had to just jump in both feet into getting that edited. And then I ran into a technical issue, which I spent, pretty much the rest of the day working on because for some reason, the software I use to edit that podcast with, I use it at that studio, and then I export files and bring them into this studio, and I open up my copy of that, and it just looked at it and said, I don't see anything. So I have to go back to that studio today and grab the audio files a different way. I'm sorry, I'm getting into Nerdville here, but the thing is, the editing package that I use there and here exports what you're working on, and it bundles it up into a little package file, and then you can stick it on a thumb drive or something and move it to another computer or transfer it across a network or do whatever you need to with it. And so I do that every week. Every time I record there, I bundle things, I package them up, put them on a little external hard drive, bring them home, stick them in the other computer, the one that's I'm pointing at. You can't see me point that one over there, and I edit there, and I open the files there. And lately, I've been having an issue with it opening the package file and not finding some of the audio. I can usually get around that by going to the package file, and I'm allowed to look in it. It's, you know, open, show the contents of the package, and it shows you everything that's in it. And now I can't. For some reason, it won't. And I don't know what's happening. I don't know why this is happening, but it's not just me. I've done some searching, and a lot of people have had this problem. I've downloaded some demo versions of other software that's supposed to be able to open these packages and hit dead ends every time. So I've got to get back out again when we get through here and go pick go transfer those audio files a different way, unless I can get somebody to transfer them for me. Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, that was my yesterday. And now last night, we many of us across America sat and watched as President Donald Trump faced off with Joe Biden for the second and final time in a debate. And this debate was very different than the first debate, because they supposedly were going to have their microphones muted. It didn't appear to be that way. I did see President Trump's microphone muted a couple of times as he was trying to speak when Biden was speaking, but I never saw Biden's microphone. Biden actually interrupted President Trump on more than one occasion. And to be fair, President Trump interrupted Biden as well, but Biden was the first one to interrupt. He had to make a comment about something that was being said. He wasn't going to stand for the truth being told. And he had the same tell that he has had in times past. You can always tell when someone is telling the truth and it's inconvenient for Joe Biden, because that big grin splits across his face, literally splits his head and below his nose. He's got the big, it just goes, has this man had facial reconstruction surgery? Has he been stretched a bit? Because when he grins, it's huge. But he grins, he shakes his head, he dismissively laughs, and he does it every time. Every time an opponent in an exchange like this scores a hit, he nails him, he gets nailed, and he put that big grin, he laughs and shakes his head every time. It's a tell. And last night, that happened many times. Many times. It was very interesting to watch. Now, there's a lot we could break out from last night, but because I keep this podcast to the time limit I've assigned to it, I'm not going to go into everything, or we would be here all morning, and I just don't want to do that. So we're just going to talk about a handful of things from last night. And probably at the top of the list was Biden's big mistake. His big mistake last night. He stepped, as they say, onto a landmine, politically speaking. A landmine that will certainly cost him with working class Americans. He pledged to transition from the oil industry throughout his administration. Trump asked, would he close down the oil industry? Would you close down the oil industry? And Joe Biden responded, I would transition from the oil industry, yes. Trump responded, that's a big statement. It's a big statement because, well, the oil industry pollutes significantly, Biden emphasized, and later added, it has to be replaced by renewable energy over time. And I'd stop giving to the oil industry. I'd stop giving them federal subsidies. Trump won't give federal subsidies to solar and wind. Why are we giving to the oil industry? And Trump responded, we actually do give it to solar and wind. And that's maybe the biggest statement in terms of business, because basically what he's saying is he's going to destroy the oil industry. Will you remember that, Texas? Will you remember that, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma? the Twitter reactions to Biden's statement were swift and they were fierce for what might have arguably been his biggest mistake of the evening. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, tweeted, "Biden wants to transition away from the oil industry. He just killed paychecks earned by hardworking families in Texas. Joe just wants to transition away from Texas. Remember that on election day." Jesse Kelly, he's a radio host and he's very active on social media, tweeted, "Trump campaign is going to roll out a massive ad buy in Pennsylvania with that idiotic Biden answer about oil. Unless someone shows me a map with a path to victory for Biden when he loses Florida, which he will, and Pennsylvania, that might have sealed the deal tonight." Also from Twitter, Robbie Starbuck tweets, "Joe Biden just said he would transition from the oil industry. That means kill the oil industry. The moderator's response, 'Why would you do that?' was hilarious. She sounded confused why he would do this to his campaign. His far-left plan slipped out. Massive error by Joe." Molly Hemingway, she says, "Biden defense team," in parentheses, the media, "working overtime to say that Biden's biggest error, saying he wants to end the oil industry, is no big deal, and isn't that what we all say in our hearts anyway? Oil industry, one of the largest in country, and particularly in some states." NRO's Kyle Smith said, "Holy cow, Trump asks Biden if he'd shut down the oil industry, and he says, 'I would transition from the oil industry, yes.'" Yikes. So, as they say, last night, Joe Biden stepped in it. He let it slip that he's going to transition our nation away from the oil industry, from all fossil fuels. He kept saying that, too. What the uninitiated don't understand is that without fossil fuels, there's a lot in this country that doesn't happen. Fossil fuels power many, many things. One of those fossil fuels is natural gas. That's what comes from fracking. And one of the things he talked about was fracking, that he has never said he would ban fracking. And then he challenged President Trump. "Hey, go ahead." He said, "Show me the tape. Put it up on your website." Guess what happened within 10 minutes of the end of the debate? It was on his website. It was on all of his social media. The compilation of Joe Biden saying again and again and again that he would be that he would be eliminating fracking, no new fracking, eliminating. He is again and again and again said it. He said it in front of news cameras. He said it in speeches. It's on the record. And then he goes on this debate and says, "That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen." And, you know, we actually have it. I've got it right here. I don't have time to play it for you, but I will right after the break. It's on Donald Trump's website. It's on his Twitter feed. It's on his Facebook feed. It's all over. And after the break, I'll play it for you so you can hear Joe Biden in his own words. Holy moly. Joe Biden last night torpedoed his own campaign. And I can't think of it happening to a nicer guy. There's more to come. We'll also be talking about his claim that nobody lost their insurance under Obamacare. Another lie. And he talked about children on the border. A bunch of things. And we'll see just how much of it we can get to. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast for Friday. It's the 23rd of October, 2020. just over a week away from Halloween. Just a couple of days after that, the election. And last night, wow, we had the presidential debate, the second of two that we'll have this time because of the Rona. At least that's what they're blaming it on. Did you notice last night Joe Biden walks out? He makes sure to come out of the wings and take off his mask as he stepped onto the stage and then paused for a beat so that people could notice that he was wearing a mask, trying to make his statement about being cautious. It's political theater. And when you listen to Joe Biden talk, when he's not reacting as he did a lot last night, for example, his closing statement when he is saying something that is clearly prepackaged, something that he has clearly been rehearsed on. It was obvious to me. It was very rehearsed. He had been given, this is your last minute. You've got this. This is what you're going to say. And he'd been drilled on it and drilled on it and drilled on it. And he comes across as a politician, a seasoned statesman. That's how he comes across. And I think one of the reasons that the people don't like him and they do like Donald Trump is because that's not what Trump is. Now, at one point during the debate last night, there was this talk about the children on the border. Now, I'm getting a little bit out of order, but I'm doing it because the guys over at the Proof blog posted about an hour ago. Let me just post it for you. This is why America, I'm just going to read it to you. This is where America is at the moment. The loudest people are the most uneducated. The blue check marks of Twitter thought President Trump said literal coyotes, the dog-like animals, are bringing children over the border illegally into America. These are all real. And I got a bunch of them down here, these tweets. These people are all being serious. Coyotes are people trafficking Latin Americans into the U.S. This is a term widely used in both the world of immigration and border services. The fact these people don't know this term means that they don't really know a thing about illegal immigration. These people are the people who want you to submit your liberties. These are the people who think they know more than you. These people are the people we should never allow to win. Holy cow. And then there's this whole stack of them, and I'm not going to be able to get to all of them. But the idiot anti-gunner David Hogg speaks up. Then there's somebody else. One says, I've seen a lot of coyotes here in SoCal, but I've never seen one carrying a kid. Another says, kids came over on coyotes to America. Am I missing something? And they go on like that and on and on and on. Children brought here by coyotes? Yes, Leslie, everyone knows about the migrant baby grabbing coyotes. So the ignorance is just amazing. And these are the people, with their little blue check marks on social media. These are the people others are listening to. These idiots. It just blows my mind. Something else that blows my mind is one thing that we talked about already that Joe Biden said last night. And then Donald Trump said, okay, you got it.
I never said I oppose fracking.
You said it on tape.
I did. Show the tape. Put it on your website.
I'll put it on.
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated.
What about, say, stopping fracking and stopping pipeline infrastructure?
Yeah, new pipeline, exactly. No new fracking. You got to transition away from it. Look, you're going to ban fracking all across America right now, right?
I would love to.
Yeah, I'd love to, too. I'd love to make sure we can't use any oil or gas, period.
Look in my eyes. I guarantee we're
going to
end fossil fuel.
We are going to get rid of fossil fuels.
We are going to end fossil fuel.
I oppose fracking.
You said it.
It's repeating, but he has said so. It's on the record. And like I said, within moments after he said that, it was online. I mean, it was crazy how fast it happened. The Trump's team had it online as fast as humanly possible. And now it's everywhere today. You've probably seen it before you hear this. And that's one lie he just could not get away with. He is anti-fossil fuel. And that argument doesn't hold water, because the wind turbines have to have, the big windmills have to have a specific environment to operate in, which is why you don't see them everywhere. You just see them out where there's a lot of flat land where they can pick up the wind. And in those places, as President Trump mentioned last night, the killing birds, he said that environmentalists are upset about these the wind turbines killing birds because they fly into the blades. It's a big unnatural thing, and they're just flying into them. And when he said that they're killing the birds, Biden did one of his things where he shakes his head and he grins real big, like, that's just stupid. But the thing is, the environmentalists, the pro-animal people, have been going insane about that particular aspect of wind energy for as long as it's been around, because it's been killing birds for as long as it's been around. And then President Trump also mentions last night the process for building these things generates a great deal of pollution. It's, by the way, you can look that up. That is true. Building these things generates pollution. And then there's solar. Solar it's not there yet. That's kind of how President Trump put it. It's not far enough along yet. The technology doesn't work well enough yet to deliver the amount of power everywhere that is needed. And that's an issue. If you live in parts of the world where you get sunshine most of the time, then you can keep the batteries charged up in your home and you're not going to have a problem. But if you don't, you have an issue. You can't use solar. And there are a lot of places where you can't use solar. Now, you may live in a place where your weather is pretty good all the time, but not everybody in America lives in a place like that. In different parts of the country, the climate's different. Things change. Some places have more rain, more cloudy days than others. It's just the way things are. And solar doesn't work well there. I have friends who have solar panels, and they talk about how wonderful it is to have their solar panels because it reduces their electrical bills, but they can't use them 365 days of the year. They can't depend on them all the time because the climate doesn't allow for it to happen. The technology is not there. Another thing is that the materials used in manufacturing solar panels are environmentally dangerous. They're pollutants. And when it comes time to dispose of solar panels, we have issues. Another option, which is much more reasonable and works, really works, is nuclear energy. Oh, but what about nuclear waste? You're going to have waste from solar panels. You're going to have the same kind of issues from disposing of wind turbines and the like, and some of the stuff in wind turbines. So you're going to pick one to demonize, one that actually works. Oh, but what about Three Mile Island? What about Fukushima? What about... Okay. You can name three problems in the entire history of nuclear energy. Three. How many nuclear plants were there before those accidents started happening? How many? And three accidents. Three problems. I guarantee you, there are more problems with other forms that they just don't talk about. Now, Biden also talked about insurance. And I've been scanning through my stuff trying to find my promise from Barack Obama about Obamacare. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan, which he said many, 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 many times. And it was a bald-faced lie. And his defenders say, oh, well, he didn't know. Yeah, he knew. Trust me. Somebody in that position knows. They know. Remember Nancy Pelosi saying, well, we'll have to pass the bill so you can see what's in it? Yeah. They knew what was in it. They knew.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
See, Nancy Pelosi and everybody else in D.C. knew. And conservatives in D.C. were raising red flags, setting off sirens in the back of the room. Ooh, 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 ooh. Don't do this. It's bad. They knew.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the... Go, you know the thing.
You know the thing? Come on. Oh, man, last night. Okay, one more segment on the content of last night, and then, excuse me. In the final segment, I want to try to relay something to you that I think is really important to wrap up the week. And something to remember during the next week. Before we go to the polls, if you haven't already. And can I, on that note, can I just encourage you, if you can, vote in person. Make sure that vote is counted. If you can't, then fill that ballot out. Get your early voting ballot out. Get it out. Vote, fill it out and deliver it by hand wherever it needs to go. Make sure that your vote is counted. And if you have an electronic means of checking up on it to make sure your vote's been processed, please do that. Some states are doing that, where you can look online and put in your information and it'll tell you whether or not your vote's been recorded. So do that. Make sure it happens. The way to win this is to win big and win early so that we can declare an Electoral College win on election night. That has to happen. And it can happen. And just between you and me, I'm no prognosticator, but I think it's going to happen because Joe Biden just keeps shooting himself in the foot. Now, as I reminded you a little while ago, there was a part of last night's debate where Joe Biden just flat out, well, there were several parts where he just flat out lied. During this final presidential debate last night, Democrat nominee Joe Biden claimed that not one single person lost their health care plan because of Obamacare. This claim was not just a lie. It was 2013's lie of the year. The Democrat nominee delivered the lie after President Donald Trump warned that all of the positive changes his administration has made to try to fix Obamacare, which he noted was no good on its own, those changes will be eliminated with Biden at the helm. He said, "We have 180 million people out there that have great private health care, far more than we're talking about with Obamacare. Joe Biden's going to terminate all of those policies. Those are people that love their health care. People that have been successful, middle-income people, been successful. They have 180 million plans, 180 million people, families, under what he wants to do, which will basically be socialized medicine," at which point Biden did one of those things. "He won't even have a choice. They want to terminate 180 million plans. Biden responded by touting his plan, Bidencare, and claiming that it won't involve the elimination of the private health care market. Aye. He was, most of the other Democrat primary candidates have also expressed ostensible opposition to just outright eliminating private insurance. Biden said, "Not one single person with private insurance would lose their insurance under my plan. Nor did they, under Obamacare. They did not lose their insurance unless they chose they wanted to go to something else." I'm sorry, Uncle Joe, but that's a lie. That's a bald-faced lie. And it doesn't matter what you say or what Barack Obama had to say at the time.
I said this once or twice, but it bears repeating. And you can keep your plan if you are satisfied with it.
If you like the plan you have, you can keep it.
If you like your plan and you like your doctor,
You won't have to do a thing. You keep your plan.
If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
If you've got health insurance, you can keep it.
If you like your health care plan, you will keep your plan. If you've got health insurance, you like your doctor, you like your plan, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan.
If you have insurance that you like, then you will be able to keep that insurance. If you like your doctor or health care plan, you can keep it.
If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan. If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan.
If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep your plan.
I'm beginning
to see
a trend here.
If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan.
If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep it.
If you want to keep the health insurance you got, you can keep it. If you like the insurance plan you have now, you can keep it.
And if you like your insurance plan, you will keep it.
So if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your plan, keep your plan.
If you like your current insurance, you will keep your current insurance.
If you like your plan, you can keep your plan.
If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you're happy with what you got, nobody's changing it.
Leading up to and following the passage of the Affordable Care Act in 2010, as you just heard, then President Barack Obama repeatedly lied, promising Americans, if you like your health care plan, you can keep it. During the presidential election 2 years later, he repeated this claim again in the hopes of being reelected. Now fast forward to October 2013 when the federal government's health insurance exchange website, healthcare.gov, officially opened for business. It soon became clear that no, if you like your health care plan, you can't keep it. The claim was so false that even PolitiFact, which leans to the left politically, fact-checked it, going so far as to label it the lie of the year in 2013. According to the fact-checker, on at least 37 occasions, Obama had made the claim and included no caveats, such as a high-profile speech to the American Medical Association in 2009. That was one of the clips you just heard, by the way. If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan, period. No one will take it away, no matter what. No matter what. I lost mine. Did you lose yours? Do you know anyone who was able to keep the exact same plan they had? No. They had to go back to their insurance company and pick a plan which covered things that they did not need and pay two, three, four, sometimes five times as much for their insurance coverage. Despite the fact check, Biden had the gall last night to claim without caveats that not one single person with private insurance would lose their insurance under his plan. And he also said, nor did they under Obamacare. A bald-faced lie. A lie that provoked a caustic backlash on social media. Critics, including many Americans who'd lost their plans, rushed to fact-check the Democrat nominee and share their own stories of how they and their family had lost insurance. Ann Coulter says, I lost my insurance under Obamacare. So did Drudge. So did every freelancer. So did every solo practitioner. F you, Joe Biden. Ooh. Ben Shapiro says, not a single person lost their insurance under Obamacare. This is patently untrue. Buck Sexton says, Biden just said that nobody lost their plan under Obamacare. He's retelling the single biggest lie of the Obama administration, which everyone knows was a lie, but the media will let him get away with it. Jack Posobiec says, I personally know dozens of people who lost their health care when Obamacare was enacted. Disgrace and so disrespectful. Ian Miles Chung, I know people whose parents died thanks to them losing their private insurance due to Obamacare. But keep lying, Joe. Dana Lesh says, Joe Biden's lying. My family's one of millions that lost our health insurance because of Obamacare. Another says, I was pushed into Obamacare, lost all my doctors, had to look hard to find anyone who would take me. And for this horror, I paid a little over $1,000 a month. Another says, I lost a plan I loved and had had for years. It was canceled as soon as Obamacare went into effect. I now have a crappy ACA plan that I had to buy because in New York State, someone buying insurance not via an employer can buy only a crappy ACA plan. It's awful. And I want my old plan back. Another says, my great insurance monthly premium tripled deductible from $0 to $5,000. Daz Life Sustaining Medicine went from $39 a month to $900 a month. Sorry, Joe. Obamacare sucked. Since Donald Trump, my insurance cost lowered. Deductible, too. And finally, I know people whose spouses lost coverage and had to go without insurance because the marketplace was too expensive for them alone. So guess what happened when they got sick? Examples like these range on for days and could bode very badly for Biden if word gets out about his lie. The problem is that the only way to learn about it at the moment is from either social media or conservative media, because it's likely the mainstream media will either ignore this lie or downplay it like the Associated Press has done. The AP wrote in a fact check this: health insurance is such a complicated area that almost any action has the potential for unintended consequences. Was that supposed to be an excuse? I think that was their intent. They were coming to Biden's rescue, much like the debate moderator did occasionally. Actually, the only time I can remember her interrupting Joe Biden was to stop him from digging a hole deeper than he already had, because he was getting himself into a position where just a little bit further out into the weeds, he would have been in deep legal doo-doo. And she stopped him. No doubt somebody in her ear says, get control of this, get control of this, stop him before he goes any further. And that's exactly what happened. And then, got a couple of minutes here, and then there was the border. Biden, not once, not twice, but repeatedly, talked about over 500 children on the border. They can't find their families. We talked about that here the other day. I don't know if you remember, but I think it was Monday we talked about it. It wasn't Monday. It was just before that. And I said at the time, well, yeah, there were traffickers, coyotes, people who paid money to use children to look like they were families coming across the border. Well, they weren't parents. So when they got separated, they never got put back together again, because when they got their court dates, they disappeared. And those children were left there. That's why they can't find their parents. But Joe Biden used that statistic in an attempt to attack President Trump. And Trump turned it around by asking him, hey, Joe, who built those cages? Who built the cages, Joe? It was Obama and Biden that built those cages. Alrighty, here we go. Final segment for this edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast and for this week. Hey, speaking of the week ending, have a good weekend this weekend. Unplug. Wash your brain clean of all of the garbage. Find a place to get in the quiet and enjoy it for at least one solid hour this weekend. Turn everything off. Silence your cell phone. Leave it in the car. Take a walk. And just get some quiet time. We all need it. All righty. I want to remind you of something that was said on Friday, the 20th day of February, 2017. These remarks were said before an international audience, a large group of people, on Inauguration Day in 2017 by our current president, Donald Trump. And I want to read this to you so you can remember what he had to say. I've got about 10 minutes. I believe I can make it through it. Oh, yeah, I should be able to make it through it. And I want you to remember this. It'll be in show notes today. I want you to get the show notes so you can have the text of this, because it's important. And here we go. Chief Justice Roberts, President Carter, President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, fellow Americans and people of the world, thank you. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and to restore its promise for all of our people. Together, we will determine the course of America and the world for years to come. We will face challenges, we will confront hardships, but we will get the job done. Every 4 years, we gather on these steps to carry out the orderly and peaceful transfer of power, and we are grateful to President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama for their gracious aid throughout this transition. They have been magnificent. Today's ceremony, however, has a very special meaning. Because today we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C. and giving it back to you, the American people. For too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost. Washington flourished, but the people did not share in its wealth. Politicians prospered, but the jobs left and the factories closed. The establishment protected itself, but not the citizens of our country. Their victories have not been your victories. Their triumphs have not been your triumphs. And while they celebrated in our nation's capital, there was little to celebrate for struggling families all across our land. That all changes, starting right here and right now, because this moment is your moment. It belongs to you. It belongs to everyone gathered here today and everyone watching all across America. This is your day. This is your celebration. And this, the United States of America, is your country. What truly matters is not which party controls our government, but whether our government is controlled by the people. January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. Everyone is listening to you now. You came by the tens of millions to become part of a historic movement the likes of which the world has never seen before. At the center of this movement is a crucial conviction that a nation exists to serve its citizens. Americans want great schools for their children, safe neighborhoods for their families, and good jobs for themselves. These are the just and reasonable demands of a righteous public. But for too many of our citizens, a different reality exists. Mothers and children trapped in poverty in our inner cities. Rusted out factories scattered like tombstones across the landscape of our nation. An education system flush with cash, but which leaves our young and beautiful students deprived of knowledge. And the crime and gangs and drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here, and it stops right now. We are one nation, and their pain is our pain. Their dreams are our dreams, and their success will be our success. We share one heart, one home, and one glorious destiny. The oath of office I take today is an oath of allegiance to all Americans. For many decades, we've enriched foreign industry at the expense of American industry, subsidized the armies of other countries while allowing for the very sad depletion of our military. We've defended other nations' borders while refusing to defend our own, and spent trillions of dollars overseas while America's infrastructure has fallen into disrepair and decay. We've made other countries rich while the wealth, strength, and confidence of our country has disappeared over the horizon. One by one, the factories shuttered and left our shores, with not even a thought about the millions upon millions of American workers left behind. The wealth of our middle class has been ripped from their homes and then redistributed across the entire world. But that is the past, and now we're looking only to the future. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this moment on, it's going to be America first. Every decision on trade, on taxes, on immigration, on foreign affairs will be made to benefit American workers and American families. We must protect our borders from the ravages of other countries making our products, stealing our companies, and destroying our jobs. Protection will lead to great prosperity and strength. I will fight for you with every breath in my body, and I will never, ever let you down. America will start winning again, winning like never before. We will bring back our jobs, we will bring back our borders, we will bring back our wealth. And we will bring back our dreams. We will build new roads and highways and bridges and airports and tunnels and railways all across our wonderful nation. We will get our people off of welfare and back to work, rebuilding our country with American hands and American labor. We will follow two simple rules: buy American and hire American. We will seek friendship and goodwill with the nations of the world, but we do so with the understanding that it is the right of all nations to put their own interests first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but to rather to let it shine as an example for everyone to follow. We will reinforce old alliances and form new ones, and unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which we will eradicate completely from the face of the earth. At the bedrock of our politics will be a total allegiance to the United States of America. And through our loyalty to our country, we will rediscover our loyalty to each other. When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice. The Bible tells us how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. We must speak our minds openly, debate our disagreements honestly, but always pursue solidarity. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement, and most importantly, we are protected by God. Finally, we must think big and dream even bigger. In America, we understand that a nation is only living as long as it is striving. We will no longer accept politicians who are all talk and no action, constantly complaining but never doing anything about it. The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action. Do not let anyone tell you it cannot be done. No challenge can match the heart and fight and spirit of America. We will not fail. Our country will thrive and prosper again. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. It is time to remember that old wisdom our soldiers will never forget, that whether we're black or brown or white, we all bleed the same red blood of patriots. We all enjoy the same glorious freedoms, and we all salute the same great American flag. And whether a child is born in the urban sprawl of Detroit or the windswept plains of Nebraska, they look up at the same night sky. They fill their heart with the same dreams, and they are infused with the breath of life by the same Almighty Creator. So to all Americans in every city, near and far, small and large, from mountain to mountain, and from ocean to ocean, hear these words. You will never be ignored again. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny, and your courage and goodness will love, and love will forever guide us along the way. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America. And those are the words, as prepared for delivery. He did improvise a bit from time to time, but those are the words prepared for delivery of the inaugural address from January 20th, 2017, by Donald Trump. They're words we don't remember. They're words we probably didn't see delivered live. We may not have cared to watch. Many didn't. But I remember watching and thinking, Wow. He is not making the politicians happy. He's not making pals in D.C., that's for sure. And as we've seen over the last 4 years, his enemies in Washington, D.C. have been trying to destroy him ever since that day. Since that day, they've tried to impeach him, they've tried to besmirch his reputation, they've tried to demonize him in the minds of Americans, and they have failed again and again and again. And they will continue to fail. That's all for today and this week. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here Monday.
Off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?